As you think about all of the various congregations that existed and were established in the New Testament, as you think about Paul and his missionary journeys traveling to all of these new areas where the gospel had never been preached before, and yet when the gospel was preached and people obeyed the gospel, that congregations of the Lord's church were sprouting up wherever the gospel was obeyed. That there were a number of congregations that Paul had a very close relationship with just because of the fact that he helped to establish them. Just because of the fact that he had brought the gospel to that area and had helped these individuals to become Christians. But there seems to be a special relationship that existed between Paul and the church at Philippi. Perhaps more so than the other congregations that he helped to establish. And so we begin this morning in Acts chapter 16, and then we're going to get over to the book of Philippians, to those verses that Bill read for us in just a few minutes. But I want you to look in Acts chapter 16 for just a moment and to see the beginning of the church in Philippi and how the church was so diverse at its very outset. When Paul came to the city of Philippi in Acts chapter 16, he came there as a result of what we call the Macedonian call, a vision that Paul received in Acts 16, verses 8 and 9, where a man from Philippi appeared unto Paul and saying, "Come over here and help us. We need help, not monetary help. We need spiritual help. We need the gospel of Christ." So Paul made his way to Macedonia and came to that foremost city of Philippi. And when he got there in verse 13 of Acts chapter 16, the Bible says that he went down to a riverside where there were some women who were praying. This city was apparently not large enough, at least not a population of Jews large enough to warrant having a synagogue, as he would find in many other cities. But instead, these Jewish women were down by a riverside, and the Bible says that they were praying on this Sabbath day. And on this day, Paul taught them the gospel. Verse 14, we are introduced to one lady in particular whose name was Lydia. Lydia, the Bible says, was a devout woman. Lydia was one of these ladies who had gathered down by the river to pray. Lydia was one of these individuals who had traveled far from home. She was from Thyatira. She was in a whole other country from where she had grown up and where she belonged. And yet this woman, when it came to the day that was devoted to the Lord under that old covenant, she went down to that riverside to pray. When Paul came, the Bible says in Acts 16, verse 14, that she heeded the things that were spoken by Paul. The Bible says that Lydia and her household obeyed the gospel. They were baptized into Christ. The very first converts in the city of Philippi was a woman and her family. In verse 15, the Bible says that she begged Paul and his companions to come into our home and to stay there a while in order that she might continue to hear about Christ, in order that she might continue to learn about Christianity. Here is a devout, devoted woman, a religious woman. She already believed in God. All she needed was the fullness of the gospel to be proclaimed to her, and she was readily obedient to it, not only her, but all of those who were of accountable age in her family. You get down to verse 16. The Bible says that as Paul was traveling throughout Philippi, that there was this servant girl who continued to follow them all over wherever they went, and she was possessed by a demon. Now, the Bible doesn't tell us that this happened. It does tell us that Paul cast out the demon out of this servant girl. But do you suppose that that's all that Paul did for this girl? Don't you know that when that demon was cast out of this girl, that Paul would have taken an opportunity to preach the gospel to her? And would you believe, perhaps, that this girl would have been obedient to the good news as opposed to all the bad news that her life had been full of? You get down to verse 25. In Acts chapter 16, the Bible says that Paul and Silas were in prison. They were thrown in prison because the owners of this servant girl were very upset that Paul had cast out that demon. And here they are in prison. The Bible says in verse 25 that they are singing and praying at midnight in the very back of this prison cell where they are chained, arms and legs, to this prison. singing and praying. We know the Bible says that an earthquake came and it opened the gates of that prison. It took off the chains off of their arms and off of their legs. And the Bible says that that keeper of the prison, that jailer was about ready to kill himself, fearing that all of those who were in that prison had fled. And Paul said, "Don't you do yourself any harm, for we are all here." And the Bible says in verse 30 that the man came and he fell down at Paul's feet there in the prison cell. He falls down before one of the prisoners of all people, and he says, "What must I do and to be saved?" He took them out, Paul and Silas, from that prison. He took them in verse 33 and washed their stripes, no doubt, perhaps stripes that he himself had laid upon Paul and Silas. He gathered his family together. This man not only wanted to hear the gospel himself, he brought his family together in order that the gospel might be proclaimed to him and his entire household. And the Bible says that very night, it was after midnight, it was before the break of day, that very night he and his household were baptized into Christ. I want you to see this church at its very beginning. I want you to see this special relationship that Paul begins to develop with this church that is made up of a woman, a devout woman, a religious woman, a business woman who is perhaps on travel there in the city of Philippi, who's come there and she's praying. Who's baptized? She is, and her family. So here's a businesswoman. Perhaps even this servant girl became a part of this church. We get down to a jailer, someone who would be different, very different from somebody who was just a seller of purple. Here was a man, a jailer, who is not religious that we can tell at all. He was not Jewish, perhaps a pagan man, perhaps brought up in a pagan world, very different from Lydia in her home, and yet he obeys the same gospel that Lydia did, becomes the same thing that she became, and that's a Christian, as well as everyone in his house. And then you go to Philippians chapter 2. Philippians chapter 2, in the last five verses of that chapter, we read about a man named Epaphroditus. And perhaps Epaphroditus was as well a resident from Philippi because he had a close relationship with that church. Epaphroditus, the very name, is a pagan name. The very name came from a pagan goddess. Here is a church made up of Jews and Gentiles. Here is a church that's made up of men and women. Here's a church that's made up of old and young. Here's a church that is made up of individuals who are of a business class and individuals who are perhaps more of a blue-collar jailer. Here we have individuals, all of them, though, who were hungering and thirsting after righteousness. We have individuals who would be perhaps the employers and others who were the employees. I want us this morning to see the mix of this congregation. And then I want you to look at Palm Beach Lakes and to say, is there a mix here that resembles the church at Philippi? That church at Philippi was not made up of one kind of people. That church of Philippi was made up of every kind of people. The church of Palm Beach Lakes is not made up of one kind of people. The church here is made up of people from all over. People who have a religious background, people who were brought up in the church, and people who did not know anything about Jesus until just a few years ago. Males and females, old and young. You look at the diversity of this congregation, and yet we all have one goal. And that's to make it to heaven. We all have one goal, and that is to labor together for the cause of Christ in order that we might be brought closer to the Lord on this earth and pleasing to Him, in order that we might ultimately be brought closer to the Lord eternally in heaven. If you're visiting with us here this morning, you've come at a very special day for this congregation. It's a day that we have been calling, at least a program that we have been calling for the last couple years, Laborers Together with God. And our intent as a part of this program is to do just that. And we hate to even use the word program because that makes it sound almost like it's going to be short-lived. But our desire as a part of this effort is for all of us in this congregation, as diverse as we are, as different as we all are, to come together and to labor together, but not just to labor with each other, to not just help each other and to work with each other, but to have the great privilege of laboring with God. That church at Philippi, when Paul was there, begged him to stay. When you get to the end of Acts chapter 16, the last verse, after he's brought out of prison, he comes back to the home of Lydia, and he's asked to stay there because they wanted to know more about what they could do for the Lord. They wanted to be laborers together with God. And as you think about that relationship that Paul had with that church, we're going to see it as we look at these verses in the book of Philippians. We're going to see the closeness of the relationship that Paul had with that church. And this is not because of any band from the 80s or anything like that, or 90s, or whenever NSYNC was NSYNC. But I believe that when you go back and look at the church at Philippi and the relationship that they had with Paul, they were just in sync. They were not only in sync with each other, but more importantly, they were in sync with the Lord and what they were trying to do. And so as we talk about labors together with God today, as we talk about what's going to happen as a part of this day, and we'll talk more about that at the end of the lesson, I want us to try to get in sync this morning. Some of you who are that age, all you can think about is that boy band of the 90s, and you got to get that out of your head, all right? I want us to see if we can get in sync with the Lord this morning. Go to Philippians chapter 4. And all we're going to look at primarily this morning are two verses in Philippians chapter 4. And we're going to reference back to chapter 1 and chapter 2, the verses that Bill read for us. But I want you to look at the relationship, the special relationship that Paul had with these individuals. And I want us to center in on Philippians chapter 4, verses 2 and 3. And if we are going to get in sync as laborers together with God today, there are three things that are going to be required. We're going to look at these rapidly. And only verses 2 and 3, there are three things that are going to be required of us today if we are truly going to labor with God. First of all, getting in sync as laborers together with God, it's got to start at the right place. And it has to start with the right mindset. Look at what Paul tells these individuals in Philippians chapter 4 and verse 2. And I recognize that Paul is talking and addressing specifically two women, Euodia and Syntyche. If you got any grandchildren that are coming along and about ready to be born, I know some of you do, share these names. You don't know any Euodias or Syntyches, do you? They'll have a unique name like no other. Here's two women in the church, Euodia and Syntyche, who apparently were having some difficulties between themselves, but Paul had a special relationship with these ladies. And he wanted them to understand that if you are going to get in sync together, that you've got to get in sync with the Lord. Well, how are you going to do that? It's got to start with the right mindset. And he says, I implore Euodia, I implore Syntyche to be of the same mind. Now, Paul had already said that multiple times in this book, that they were to be of the same mind. In all the verses that Bill read from chapter 1, chapter 2, Paul had been emphasizing the need for unity. He had been emphasizing the need for harmony and agreement among the Christians in Philippi. But when you look at Philippians 2 or Philippians 4 and verse 2, is that what this verse says? Does God put a period right here after the word mind? Does God implore these two women to get in sync? And the way you start that is to have the same mindset. Did God say, all I want you to do is to be of the same mind, period? Do you have a period after the word mind? If you do, you got a funny looking Bible. Because I can't find a Bible that's got the word a period after the word mind. God said the only way for you to get in sync is to be of the same mind in the Lord. It wasn't that Euodia needed to say, okay, Syntyche, what's your mind? I'll just be of your mind. And it wasn't that Syntyche needed to say to Euodia, all right, whatever your mind is, I'll be of your mind. Forget that it's some person's mind. God says if there's going to be true unity in the church, God says if there's going to be true harmony in the church, God says the only way you can labor together successfully and to do it in sync with the Lord is you got to have the right mindset. What's the right mindset? The right mindset is to have the mind of Christ. If you go back to Philippians chapter 2, Philippians chapter 2 and verse 2, twice in that verse, twice in Philippians 2 and verse 2, he says, I want you to be like-minded. And then a few words later, he says, and I want you to be of the same mind. And then you get down into verse 3. And he says in verse 3 that he's imploring them to be of a humble mind. Let nothing be done through selfish ambition or conceit, but in lowliness of mind. I think some translations even have in humility of mind. How are we going to successfully be laborers together? We got to get in sync. How do we do that? We got to have our same mind in the Lord. Well, what's that mind? That mind is a humble mind. Look at verse 5 of Philippians chapter 2. Let this mind of humility, of lowliness, be in you, because who had it before we did? Jesus Christ Himself. In order to get in sync as laborers together, we've got to be of the same mind. We've got to be of the same mind in the Lord. And we've got to recognize that when it comes to these matters, that nothing else compares. It's not that you need to be of the same mindset as the elders. It's not that you need to be of the same mindset as the deacons. It's not that you need to be of the same mindset and you fill in the blank. It is that all of us, remember how diverse that church at Philippi was? Think about how diverse this congregation is. That all of us, no matter how much Bible we know or don't know, no matter how long we've been in the church or not been in the church, no matter our circumstance, no matter who we are, whether we're elders or deacons or preachers, whether we're Bible class teachers, whether we're the ones who prepared the Lord's Supper this morning, or whether we're the ones who partook of the Lord's Supper this morning, where all of us need to be of the same mind. That's not any one of our minds. Same mind in the Lord. All right, now we get on the right foot. Start on the right foot. You gotta start with the right mindset. But how do you continue? How do you keep moving on to stay in sync as laborers together with God? Go back to Philippians chapter 4. What's the second thing that we see that's emphasized in this passage? That Paul says down in verse 3 that if you want to continue successfully in your endeavor to labor together with God, that your stride, you got to keep moving, that your strides have to be done. But how do they need to follow? You need to stride through your laboring together with God, but you've got to have the right mission. Look in verse 3. I urge you also, true companion, help these women. Help these women who labored with me. I know there's some translations that have different words there. It might say that they struggled with me, that they have striven with me in my efforts, in my work. What's interesting about this word labor is it comes from a Greek word, and I know we don't want to talk about Greek a lot here, but this labor together is an interesting word. It's a compound word. The word together is from soon. The word labor is from athleo. Why does that matter? What word would we get from athleo? Athletics. Here's a word that means you go and you compete together. It's not just laboring together. It is training together. What do athletes do together? They train together. They practice together. They contend together. They fight together. They compete together. They work together as a unit. God says if you're going to start right, you got to start with the same mindset. But if you're going to continue and get in stride, what is it going to require? It's going to require that you behave like a team. It's going to require that you labor, contend together like athletes would. There's only two times that this word, sunathaleo, is found in the New Testament. Both of them are in the book of Philippians. The first one is that first verse that Bill read in chapter 1 and verse 27. Where in Philippians chapter 1 and verse 27, God begs of the church of Philippi that they would be ones who would labor side by side. Your translation may have that in Philippians 1 verse 27. Side by side. Isn't that what good athletes do? They work side by side. But notice again that God doesn't put a period after this concept. God does not put a period, well, these women labored together with me, period. Well, labored with you in what, Paul? Building tents? Labored with you in what, Paul? Were they making you meals? What was so important about what these women were doing? They had a mission. And in order to stride along in our service to the Lord and laboring with Him, our focus, our mission has got to be centered. What does it say? We're not making up these words. They labored together with me in the gospel. They had a cause for which they were working. It was not about them. It was not about their endeavors. It was not about their wants or their preferences. They had a cause. They had a mission that was their center of all they were doing, and it was the gospel of Christ. God says, if you're going to labor together, if you are going to get in sync, it's got to start with the right mindset. You got to get in the Lord in your mind. God says, if you're going to continue on and stride in that endeavor, and you're going to do it successfully together, well, then it's going to take the right mission. And nobody gets to decide what that mission is. Jesus already did. It's the gospel. And it has nothing to do with you. It has nothing to do with me. It has everything to do with the Lord and the good news about the saving power of Christ. Are you ready to get in sync this morning? You know, here we are trying to talk about laboring together. We want to be in sync to do that. How's it going to start? We got to be in the Lord. Get our minds in the Lord. We got to be in the gospel. That's where our focus and our endeavors and our mission needs to be. Now, there's only one other in Philippians chapter 4 and verse 3. That's all we're doing in these two verses, in these Philippians 4 verse 2 and 3. We're just looking at three times this little word in is found. We've talked about where it starts. We've talked about how it continues. Where does it end? How do we succeed as laborers together with God? Starts with the right mindset. Continues on. What does it have? The right mission. How does it succeed? It's got to have the right motivation. It's interesting that Paul refers to people in this passage by name. Euodia, Syntyche, Clement. There's people who had specific names and he calls them out. But then he broadens it a little bit. He says, okay, here are those who have a specific name. But then he says, but then there's the rest of those people. And if I started calling some of you by name and then, okay, I don't have time to call all of you by name. We'll just say everybody here, the rest of you. When man looks at people, sometimes man sees specific names. Sometimes man sees people in groups and calls them by certain groups. If we talked about the young adult group in this congregation, well, it's a part of this congregation. It's just a group. And nevertheless, man sees clumps of people. When God looks at people, God knows you by name. God knows you as an individual. And while God sees whether you are in His church or not in His church, God knows everything about you as an individual. But the emphasis in Philippians 4 and verse 3 is not on the names, but is where those names are. Paul says, these individuals, Euodia, Syntyche, Clement, the rest of all of those who labored with me in the gospel, whose names are in the book of life. You know, your name might be written in a number of places, but it's not going to matter a hill of beans where it's written if it's not written in the book of life. How do you know if you've succeeded as a laborer together with God? How do you know if you were really in sync with God when you were trying to work with Him? Is your name in the book of life? They kept books in those days that had the names of citizens of a nation. Is your name in God's list of citizens of His kingdom? They had books in those days that listed genealogies, family members. Is your name in God's book of His family members? See, that's all that mattered. All that mattered was to have the right start. And the right start was, we got to have the right mindset. Get rid of every other mindset and just have the mindset that says, in a humble stance, we are going to have the mind of Christ. Same mind in the Lord. How are we going to proceed successfully in this endeavor to labor together with God? Well, we've got to have the right mission. Not my mission, your mission, not something we voted on. Something the Lord gave us. It's His cause to be in the gospel. Well, how do we know if we're going to be successful in this? We look to the end. And we see in Revelation 21, verse 27, that says, the only people, here's a paraphrase, the only people going to heaven are the people found written in the book of life. What does this have to do with us? What does this have to do with laborers together with God? I want you to keep this in the back of your mind, and we're going to bring it back out at the end of the lesson. I want you to keep this in the back of your mind, what it was that made the church at Philippi to be in sync. You see, they were in sync with each other. They were in sync with Paul, but most importantly, they were in sync with the Lord. And if we take these principles and bring them to what we're talking about today, in a very brief way, I want to share with you some information about what we have been calling laborers together with God. And if you have no idea what that is, first of all, recognize that laborers together with God is not a phrase that we came up with. It's not something we invented. 1 Corinthians chapter 3 and verse 9 says that Christians are to be laborers together with God. And so, about 2 years ago, July of 2011, the elders began looking at all of the works of Palm Beach Lakes, began trying to evaluate what we're doing, began looking at ways, is there anything that we can do to improve things? And so the elders spent several months looking at everything the congregation's doing. In May of 2012, the elders went to those who were currently serving as deacons back then, and they presented what they had put together, this labors together with God, and how they wanted the deacons to get involved and what the deacons could do to bring this congregation in sync with each other, although we didn't use that terminology then, but how we could bring this congregation in sync with each other to do more for the Lord. So they shared that with the deacons in May of 2012. They appointed 7 new deacons. We had about 14 deacons then. So they, half again as many, appointed 7 more, said, we need more deacons, we need more laborers. We need more men who can step in and increase what we can do for the Lord. In October of last year, the deacons brought to the elders new works, new ideas, brought to them opportunities where members could get involved, and the elders spent several months going over those and going back to the deacons and talking to them. And this concept of labors together with God was brought to the congregation February of this year. And those of you who were here may remember these little booklets that were made available for a couple weeks and given you an opportunity where there were 329 different opportunities, specific opportunities where you could get involved in the Lord's work, and all you had to do is go through and check, say, well, here's, I'm zealous for this and I'm willing to do this, and you remember doing that and turning those in, and what fun it was to take all of that information and to review it. It's all put in the database, and then the elders spent countless weeks going over and seeing where everybody had said they wanted to work. What a joy it was for these elders to see that this congregation wants to work. This congregation wants to be involved. And so for the last 2 or 3 months, the elders and deacons have been putting this together in such a way that they wanted to bring it to you, to present you with, okay, this is where you said you would be willing to work. And it was like a big jigsaw puzzle where they had millions of pieces, but they only had thousands of slots for them to fit. Or you figure out the numbers. They had thousands of pieces and only a dozen slots to fit. They had way too many people willing to do different things, and they only had a certain number. So it was a big jigsaw puzzle that they were trying to figure out, where can we fit everybody? And where can we best put everybody to work who wants to work? And so today, the elders are ready to share with you where they need you to work in this congregation. And so as you leave this morning, not yet, as you leave this morning, there are tables in the lobby that have envelopes on them for every member of this congregation. And inside those envelopes, there is a letter that the elders have written to every member of this congregation. Whether you turned in one of these booklets or not, whether you look through this, check things off and turn it in or not, there's an envelope for you out in the lobby. And there's a letter for you in those envelopes from the elders to explain and to convey their heart to you in recognition that this is a diverse congregation. In recognition that there's some people who are already doing lots of things. In recognition that there's some people that are more the kind of folks who might work behind the scenes without a whole lot of notice or attention. And so as you leave today, there are some letters out there for you. For those who did not turn in a booklet, let me share just a little bit of information with you. Perhaps we misplaced it. That wouldn't be the first time we've done that. Perhaps we misplaced it, and if you get a letter that says you didn't turn in a booklet, and you say, I did turn in a booklet, instead of stomping off and being mad at us, then come talk to one of the elders and say, I turned in a booklet, your office staff is lousy, and they lost it. And they'll take care of that. All right? The elders will fix it. They are Mr. Fix-It, and they will take care of it for you. But perhaps you didn't turn in a booklet. Maybe by choice. Maybe you just lost sight of the time frame and all of that. Perhaps you would like to get involved in some areas of the work of the church, even though you didn't turn in a booklet. Inside every envelope out there is a 33-page document that lists everything this church is doing. It presents the structure of the work, of all of the works of this church. It has the names of those who are leading those various efforts. And it has listed in here the 329 opportunities that were in whatever that booklet was. The 329 opportunities that were in here are now in this document, along with the entire structure of how these works are to operate. Maybe you didn't turn in a booklet last time. We'd encourage you to go home today. This is in your envelope. We'd encourage you to go home today and look this over and see if there aren't some areas where you would like to get involved. You see, there are some options. There are some options that the elders want to present to you. And so inside your letter, inside with your letter, if you did not turn in one of these booklets, there are a number of options that the elders have offered to you. And obviously, there are more than this that you could do. But one of those options is, take that booklet home, mark off 5 to 10 things. You know, I would like to do these things. Write your name on a piece of paper, write down these numbers, bring them to the elders. Say, I didn't turn this in before. I want to be involved now. Here's what I'd like to do. You know, it's never too late to serve the Lord until it's too late. Does that make sense? It's never too late to serve the Lord until you can't serve Him anymore. It's still daylight. You still got daylight. There's still opportunity to do it. But obviously, there are some individuals who they'd rather not turn in those things. It's not a requirement. It's not something you have to do. And so there's another option. Another option is take this book home. Take this 33-page book home. Flip through it. Find those things where, you know, you don't have to be assigned to do this. Somebody doesn't have to come and ask you to do it. There are things in this book like writing cards and making calls and praying for certain individuals. Does somebody have to ask you to do those things? Not necessarily. And so you could go through this book, and this letter is in, I know you can read this, right? This is like 12-point font on a big old screen. You can read what that says on the screen, but it's bigger on this piece of paper for you. But all you got to do is just assign it to yourself. You don't have to turn it into the elders. Just make up your mind today. You know what? I'm going to start doing that. Nobody's going to ask me to do it. I'm just going to start doing it. There are options. There are ways that all of us can get involved more in the work. Now, for those who did turn in a booklet and identified areas where they would like to get involved, here's where the fun part was in bringing all of this together, was to take all of your check marks and all the check marks for all of the other hundreds of members who turned them in, and to make all of those check marks work together, to get all of those check marks in sync with each other. That was the exciting part of this process. To see, I don't know if you all remember that the elders, deacons, and preachers had a meeting on April 28th on that Sunday at 2:30 in the afternoon. And that's what we did the whole afternoon, is we were fighting over check marks, all right? We were fighting over, well, no, you can't have him. No, I'm going to take it. No, that wasn't really the way that it went. But that's what we were doing, is we were trying to figure out where is everybody going to fit in this work. And so, those of you who filled out a booklet and turned it in, inside your envelope in the lobby, there's not only that letter from the elders, but there is an instruction sheet. And along with that instruction sheet is going to be a yellow sheet of paper. And this yellow sheet of paper is going to have your name, instead of those two words, will have your name right there. And it's going to list the works that the elders and deacons have chosen for you to do, are asking you today to do these things. And I'm going to come back and talk about this reference number in just a minute. But as you go out today, inside that envelope will be this yellow sheet where they think you fit the best, where they think that you are needed the most, and where they think, compared with all of the other hundreds of members that they were trying to get to work together, where we strike the best balance and where everybody is in sync with each other. Now, some people's lists are going to be longer than others. That's mostly because not everybody checked off the same number of things. A lot of that has to do with reflection on where people volunteered. But don't let the length of this list scare you when you look at it. You might get your list out and it might have this many, it might even have more on it. You say, wow, I can't do all of those things. What are you doing to me? Well, that's where another sheet inside your thing comes into play. It talks about here's, I know you can't read this either, but what this sheet says is that here's what we need you to do. We need you to recognize that your yellow sheet does not reflect everything you're doing in the church. And so just because this doesn't say on it, lead a prayer in public worship, just because this doesn't say on it, write cards to the visitors or something, if that's something you've been doing and it's not on this sheet, doesn't mean stop doing it. Just keep right on doing it. It's not a reflection of everything this church asks you to do. It's only what's involved in this labors together with God effort. So these are new areas where they're asking you to get involved and to be at work. Some of these don't require ongoing efforts. You see some of these things on this list. You know, just because you're assigned for something at SOW, or just because you're assigned something for Ladies' Day, well, obviously that doesn't mean you're going to be doing that 365 days a year, does it? So there's efforts here that are do not require ongoing things. One other thing, let me mark this out. This is, your yellow sheet is all abbreviated. It's not the entire work. This might be confusing to you. And that's why we've given this reference number here. I know this is all confusing, but it's all in your letter. You can read it. This reference number, all you got to do is find that reference number and go find it in this book. And you'll have all the information that's there. Here's the commitment. Here's the commitment that the deacons are making to you today. The deacons are committing to you today that within the next 2 to 4 weeks, you're going to hear from the person who's responsible for that area where you're working, so that you can know what's expected of you, so that you can have some kind of contact with them. And it will also give you an opportunity to say, you know what, I don't want to do that anymore. Take me off the list. If you're overwhelmed, But if you are overwhelmed or you think there's too much on your list, come see one of the elders and talk to them and let them know that. Or you might look at your list and say, you know, there's not enough on here. I can do more than this. Well, come see one of the elders. Go through the booklet. Find areas where you'd like to be involved. Remember what we're trying to do. We are trying to be laborers together with God. This is not our labor. This is not our work. This is not our mission. This belongs to the Lord. And if all of us this morning will determine whoever we are, whether I'm somebody who turned in the booklet or didn't turn in the booklet, whether I'm somebody this morning who's going to walk out, get an envelope that's got assignments for me in it, or I'm not going to have an envelope that has assignments in it for me, whoever I am, can we all get in sync with each other to say we are going to work together for the cause of Christ? And not just work together hand in hand with our fellow members. We're going to work together with God to bring this about. It's only going to happen. It's only going to happen if we each will have that mindset, if we each will have this mission, and if we each will be motivated to have our names in the book of life. There is so much that could be said. There is so much that needs to be said as a part of this. We've just tried to give you a glimpse, to give you a small picture of what awaits us. If you have any questions, after you've gone and taken your envelope and take it home, look through all of the material. If you have any questions, please see one of the elders. Please see one of the deacons. If you have any questions, this booklet, the booklet, the 33-page booklet that lists all of the works that are happening here, it has everybody who's in charge of those works. And so if you see, man, I got a sign number 233, well, that's got Jerry Pittman over. I guess I'll just go talk to Jerry Pittman because I'm not sure what that means. Well, Jerry Pittman's probably going to call you in the next 2 or 3 weeks, but if you want to preempt his call, I guess that might be all right. Brethren, let's work together. Let's get in sync. But not for our good, but for God's. Not for our glory, but for God's. There's one thing that all of us can do. And that is that we all need to be praying. We all need to be praying that God will use us. Not just use us for what's on a piece of paper, but that God will use us in every way He can to make a difference on this earth. That's why we're here. We're not here so that we can have a job so that we can pay the bills. We're not here so that we can pay the rent and keep the landlord happy. We're not here so that we can own a nice car and pay the nice car insurance that comes with a nice car. We're here to glorify God. May God help us to work together to that end. And now here's the question for everyone, and that is, are you in sync with going to heaven? God has a plan for you to get there. God has a plan for everyone to go to heaven. And it's a plan that He doesn't want anybody to be left out. It's a plan that He has laid out that says all you need to do is to believe the message that's conveyed in the Word of God, that Jesus is God's Son, that He truly did die. He was buried in that grave. 3 days later, by the power of God, He was raised. And you can do that same thing. If you believe that, you can die to the practice of sin. It's called repentance. Deciding, I'm going to turn away from sin. I'm going to give my life to God. You can be buried, just like Jesus was buried. You can be buried in water, buried into His death. And just as Jesus was raised after you're baptized for the remission of your sins, you can be raised to walk in newness of life. Have you ever done that? If you haven't done that, why don't you do that today? Why don't you start walking in step, in sync? Why don't you start walking in step with the Lord today? Be baptized with Him, and when you start walking with Him, 1 John 1 and verse 7, just keep walking. Walk in the light as He is in the light, faithfully. Can we help you this morning? If we can in any way, please come as together we stand and sing.